Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, all that stuff. If you want to advertise with us, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at lockedonbulls, like us on Facebook at lockedonbulls. Make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, you think Tom Thibodeau was happy about this?
I think this is probably his favorite day so far of his debut season with the young, burgeoning Minnesota Timberwolves, who entered the United Center at 6-18 and left with a 99-94 win over the Bulls in what served as Tom Thibodeau's first game as an NBA head coach at the United Center since the Bulls unceremoniously fired him in May 2015, which we've talked plenty about. But this was quite the night for Tibbs, because he's taken the high road all along, complimented the Bulls organization, the people here. He said afterward he took no extra satisfaction from this win, which I don't think anybody bought.
So tell me, in your mind, Cody, what's the bigger lie? That insistence tonight after the game that this win wasn't more satisfying than any other wins, or this morning when he said he doesn't have a problem with Gar Forman and John Paxson?
I mean, it's all in the same, we're all kind of in the same, Russian nesting doll here. We're just peeling layers away, like from an onion or something.
Oh, man.
They both tie together. But, I mean, this definitely meant something to him. I think time can heal wounds. There's no doubt time can heal hard feelings. Not all hard feelings are mended here, clearly. But no matter what he says, this win did mean something. I mean, it means something when you leave a team and play him again, and you didn't have a messy divorce like the Bulls and Tom Thibodeau did. And they did have that messy divorce, so you know it meant something. It is worth noting that Tom was, again, complimentary all day. He called 90% of his time in Chicago absolutely great. He said he usually thinks 10% of every job, every storyline, everything in life is going to go wrong in some capacity. He said 99.9% of the time Jerry Reinsdorf treated him awesome, it sounds like. I assume
the other 1% is that press release that they sent out.
Yeah, in which they blasted him when they fired him. So I think he does have an internal respect for the Reinsdorfs. After the game, I thought this was interesting. Thibs said that, or earlier in the day, Thibs had said that he talked to Michael Reinsdorf, Bulls president and son of chairman Jerry Reinsdorf, at the Basketball Hall of Fame ceremonies in the summer. After the game, Michael Reinsdorf waited a good 5, 6, 7 minutes for Tibbs' postgame media press conference to get done and took a moment to kind of bro-hug him and held a chat for a couple minutes. So they're on speaking terms. They appear to be fine. I think he is so grateful that they finally gave him that first job when others hadn't. But yes, there are hard feelings elsewhere. And we should get to what the Bulls did and didn't do for him. In pregame introductions, after the Timberwolves starting lineup had been introduced, the Bulls said, "We welcome back Tom Thibodeau to the United Center, now head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves." So they took a little departure from normal to say, "We welcome him back."
And then like 5 seconds later, they turned the lights off and started the home player intros.
Yeah, and we should point out, when he took the tunnel a little before 7 p.m., so about 10 or 11 minutes before tip-off, actually, there was a good ovation for him, a hearty ovation of fans cheering for him and saying things along the lines of, "We love you, Tom." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he waved there. He waved again during that pregame lineup introduction acknowledgement. He waved after they won to the fans. He's so grateful to the Chicago fans. He did not get a video tribute, though, which we didn't expect, but was in the realm of possibility.
I thought it was kind of a bad look for the organization to not give him one.
Why?
Because he's the second most successful coach in franchise history after Phil Jackson. And you gave I know it was a little bit of a brief video tribute, but you gave a video tribute to Pau Gasol, who was there for 2 years. He put up good numbers, but he wasn't, like, great in Chicago in those 2 years or anything. The other thing is like all you have to do, basically what it would have done would have, instead of just like making it the same thing as the player intros, what you do is you just, even if it's just a picture, even if it's not a video tribute, even if it's just you put a picture of him up on the thing that says "Thank you, Tom Thibodeau" or something like that. You do it during the first timeout, give the fans a little extra time to cheer. Instead of just quickly saying his name, they threw in a little welcome back in there. But then like it was like 5 or 10 seconds that they gave them to cheer before they started the intros, and then just moved on from there. I thought it was a little bit weird. And I think what giving him a
fire
video tribute...
Fire coaches don't get video tributes, though. Where in NBA history has a fired coach got a video tribute?
I mean, I'll have to go back and look at examples of that. I don't know. I can't think of one, but it just felt weird to me to just brush it aside like this.
I don't have strong feelings about this. Either way, I didn't expect it. I wrote a piece on 670thescore.com in which I mentioned what they did and didn't do for him. And again, it doesn't fire me up a ton like it does other people. I thought the Bulls' misstep here stemmed from not so much what's right and wrong, because I don't know if giving a coach a video tribute is or isn't right or wrong in the optics of it. I thought it could have just ended the discussion forever.
What it would have done, and now that it's kind of still, there's still a little bit of open-endedness
so
here.
The high road scoreboard right now is Tom Thibodeau 297 Bulls 0 since he was fired. And if they would have done this one thing, doesn't get talked about in the same regard again at all. And I know some are surprised that this is a topic of discussion.
It's a topic.
But, I mean, it was a topic for a half hour on 670 The Score Sports Radio in Chicago earlier in the day here. Like, this is stuff that people are calling in about. People have tweeted me about this stuff. So
it's not surprising that this kind of stuff is... I mean, because remember during the preseason when Michael Carter-Williams first got here and it came out that he was going to wear Derrick Rose's number, remember how much backlash there was to that? Rightly or wrongly, people care about this stuff.
Yeah, you have to remember as an organization, like, fans get so invested and tied to individuals, and sometimes to a degree that's too much because they don't know them personally and they hold their heroes up, and what do you say? You're never supposed to meet your heroes or something.
Right.
Because they are fallible or whatever. But people were tied to Tibbs, and we talked about this on our preview podcast for this game, that the court of public opinion shifted in the Bulls' disastrous 2015-16 rookie year under rookie coach Fred Hoiberg. And people still respect Tibbs. And the thing that is worth noting, Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler both went over and gave him a hug before the game. Joakim Noah has said this too. Like, I think these guys appreciate him more as time goes on as well. So that plays in his favor about what he meant. And again, we're not saying the Bulls should have held on to him any longer, because again, divorce needed to happen.
Absolutely needed to happen.
But when you choose how to reflect on it and how to acknowledge him, you have to have that in mind and understand kind of where that's coming from the fans' perspective, I think.
Yeah, so just to give you a little tease here, you know, Cody wrote his story on 670thescore.com, which you go check out. I filed a column to The Athletic, which you should check out. My editor at The Athletic, John Greenberg, is going to have an interesting column coming. He actually bought a ticket right behind the Timberwolves bench, and he's going to write a column about it. It might be up by the time you listen to this. I don't know when it's going to be, but he bought a ticket basically right behind the Timberwolves bench so he could get the full experience of watching Tom in action, cursing out referees and all that kind of stuff. And you know where he bought the ticket, Cody?
SeatGeek.
On SeatGeek.
SeatGeek's the smartest and easiest way to find tickets to the basketball games, football games, whatever sporting event you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium or the arena for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. It can be anywhere, anytime, with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price, and SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade score based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy is 100% guaranteed back, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, Locked On Bulls listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So here's what you need to do. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOBULLS, just how it sounds, LOBULLS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 back after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app today and use the promo code LOBULLS.
So you wanted to actually talk about the game, Cody? I feel like we should
do
that. Yeah,
26-6 lead in the first 7 minutes for the Bulls. 21-point lead in the middle of the second quarter. I thought nothing Tibbs was going to do on the sidelines was going to matter. He could point and contort and yell and kick and scream all he wanted, and it wasn't going to matter. So, and then the Bulls happened.
So you want to hear a stat that's totally astonishing to me.
Okay.
After the first quarter, the Bulls led 38-22. In the five seasons that Tom was the head coach of the Bulls, do you want to take a guess how many times they gave up 38 points in a quarter?
And what if I heard your answer earlier?
Then you just completely messed up my trivia question. But yes, so Jeff Mangerton, the Bulls stats guru, shout out to Jeff. I DM'd him on Twitter during the game and asked him for this stat. Yeah. He gave it to me. The Bulls, they played, the exact number was 1,640 quarters of regular season basketball during the five seasons that Tom Thibodeau, because, 82 times 5 times 4.
Yep.
They gave up 38 points in a quarter 8 times.
And the Bulls did it on Tibbs' Minnesota defense in the first quarter of their first game face.
And it just kind of went back to the thing that we've been talking about. We talked about it yesterday in the podcast, but it's kind of been a thing that's been talked about with, just the reputation that Tom has as a defensive coach. And this Timberwolves team has been one of the worst, has been one of the five worst defensive teams in the league all year. And so early on in the game, and basically until, up until the point where the Bulls had that 21-point lead in the second quarter, it just looked like, okay, this, as emotional as this night is and as much as Tom is yelling, like, this defense is as bad as advertised, and the Bulls are just going to run away with this, and, it's going to be a victory for Gar and Pax and this whole thing. And then the Timberwolves just kind of clawed back into it the way that these Bulls teams, who were outnumbered in talent, always used to when Tom was there.
Yeah, so I thought the Timberwolves' interior defense was just awful in the first quarter.
Yeah, Robin Lopez was getting
Gorgie Jang was doing nothing against Robin Lopez. Karl Anthony Towns wasn't making a difference. Then the Bulls scored 18 points in the second, 19 in the third, 19 in the fourth. Because guess what? The Timberwolves realized if they play defense at the rim and in the paint, the Bulls can't shoot from the outside. The Bulls are strengthening their hold on being the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA by going 4-15 on this evening. And, this is getting to be more of a serious problem for the Bulls, this lack of outside shooting. And some nights, they can work around it because they're good at getting the free throw line. Jimmy Butler's a brilliant basketball player. Dwayne Wade's still a very good basketball player when he's got a day or two of rest in him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Timberwolves kind of showed the blueprint. Like, pack the paint a little more, make the Bulls work from the outside, just contest everything on the inside with more hands, people poking at the ball. And, this goes back to Tibbs. Like, I don't even know how you measure success for him this year exactly, because they're 7-18, making no run for the playoffs in probably a tough Western Conference. But if they can buy into defense for four quarters a night consistently by season's end, that's really good big progress for Tibbs in Minnesota this year, because it's such a foundational piece for his organization, for the basketball program that he runs. And I think that's got to be their focus now. And I think that's why he was really pleased, because it was a focus of theirs for the last three quarters.
Yeah, it was. And this is something that Tom said before the game, was that, he thinks that this team isn't where it needs to be defensively yet, but he said the emphasis in that is on yet, because he believes, and we talked to him about this at Shootaround too, he believes that this team has the talent and the work ethic and the desire to become a good defensive team. They're just so young and inexperienced that they're not there yet. And he says he likes the group that he has. He has full faith that they're going to get there eventually. If they're closer to being there by the end of the season, like you just said, than they are right now, then yeah, it would be a success. I want to talk about something as far as, on the Bulls' end of it.
What's that?
Which is, so obviously Rajon Rondo was out tonight with an ankle injury. We should have pointed that out earlier. We didn't. Rajon Rondo was out with an ankle
injury.
Jaren Grant started. He actually looked pretty good early on when he played, But I'm at a loss as to why Isaiah Cannon was playing so much over him in the second half. Cannon was awful, as he's been a lot. He played 26 minutes. He shot 3 for 9 from the field. He wasn't really helping them. He wasn't helping them on defense. Jaren Grant, he wasn't terrific. He wasn't as good as he was in the Portland game, but he certainly was better than the last game he started for Rondo.
Yeah, and the thing is, Jaren Grant, he played good defense on Damian Lillard that game, right? That was the thing, if I remember right. You were there. You probably remember.
I was, yeah.
But at 6'4", he has the ability to disrupt a defense a little more, where Isaiah Cannon at 6', that might be an inch generous or so, doesn't quite have the same capability. So Jaren Grant only played 19 minutes in this game. I wish we had more answers for you. I personally went to Tom Thibodeau's post-game press conference.
So did I. I don't think very many people went to
I can't imagine Fred even had many questions.
No.
So we haven't asked him. That's probably a Wednesday practice question.
Yeah, I'll be at practice.
Because Rondo is tweaked his left ankle, I think, or one of his ankles.
Fred said that
late practice.
Fred said that they hope to get him back for one of the Milwaukee games.
So
just coming up,
Friday.
They have a back-to-back home-and-home. They play in Milwaukee Thursday. They play here Friday, and I'll be at both games. I'm going to Milwaukee on Thursday.
Yeah, so you'll get the lowdown on that and everything.
Another injury note, by the way, from pregame. Fred Hoiberg said that Michael Carter-Williams is going to get his wrist re-examined on Friday, and that if everything checks out and everything goes according to plan, they're hopeful they'll get him back next week. So that'll help their bench once they get him back.
I'm not buying it. I think he's out at least another week past Friday.
That's
my guess.
I'm just relaying what Fred told us.
Yeah, we've heard the word hopeful a lot.
Yeah.
Always hopeful. But I did want to point out a late sequence as well. It was 91-91. The Bulls tied the game after trailing by 4 late on a Dwayne Wade to Jimmy Butler alley-oop that was in transition. Got a stop. The Timberwolves were making some careless turnovers there, kind of what you'd expect out of a young team. Jimmy Butler got a good look from the left wing, kind of an isolation play, if I remember correctly, but hit a good look at a jumper, hit it to tie it at 91. Andrew Wiggins came back with a jumper for a 2-point lead. And then Zach LaVine played really good defense, staying in front of Dwayne Wade on the right wing with score 93-91, kind of there around the final minute or so. Forced a tough fadeaway jumper that wasn't even close, and as soon as Wade shot it, LaVine semi-boxed him out and then started sprinting down the court. Dwayne Wade did not sprint down the court, as he might have even hit the deck, I don't know, but wasn't in a position very well to catch up. But LaVine went out and got a run-out layup, and that was just emblematic of the Bulls' problems and like their lack of margin of error, I think, because they can't do that. Like, they have to play better transition defense. And look, they're really good at offensive rebounding. And part of being good at offensive rebounding is crashing the glass and committing to it, which sometimes puts your transition defense out of whack a little bit. And that's a time it bit them in the butt, you know what I mean? And it might have made the difference between a win and a loss, because once they had that 4-point lead, Wade came back down on the other end. We should note this too. Went in, I thought Cat played pretty good defense, and all the Wolves, it was right there in front of us. I thought a lot of them slapped the ball. There might have been some wrist and arm too a little bit, but Cat did a really good job all night staying vertical, I thought, and I thought he did that on that play too. And Wade wanted a foul, the refs didn't call it, and he got ejected shortly thereafter for wildly swinging his arms within a couple inches of the ref's face.
He almost hit him. Swinging at him. He was just punching the air out of frustration.
So,
but it was pretty close. I can see why he got tossed.
And he got one technical, and it was immediately tossed on, just ejected for his antics, more or less.
Right.
And after the game, again, Dwayne Wade's press conference was short. We were at Tibbs, went in late. No Bulls were in the mood to talk or anything. But
did this locker room just seem like a little bit off compared to, because this is not the first time they've lost to a team they should beat. This one, because previous losses, even like ones to, you know, a team like the Lakers or, you know, Dallas or whatever, afterwards they always just kind of, the vibe always just seemed like, you know what, this is just a bump in the road, we'll be fine. They seem legitimately despondent.
So don't tell me that, like, I know Tibbs and all the Bulls and everything, everyone's like, it's a normal game, but it wasn't a normal game, because after they lost, they were They were not their usual selves. Like, a lot of times after they lose, they're kind of defiant and, like, strong and, like, we're going to fix this.
Jimmy and
they
Todd both just completely shut down any questions about...
Yeah, about pretty much about anything on about relating Tom. To Tibbs.
But so, I think I think only part of it was Tom, though. I think it was certainly part of it, but the thing is, only four guys on this team, Jimmy, Taj, Nico, and Doug, only four guys on this team ever played for Tom, even.
Yeah.
I think it was more just this just keeps happening. They keep...
It's twice beating. In 11 days they've lost to the worst team in the NBA.
Well, right, and I pointed this out. They've lost to two of the three worst teams in the league record-wise because they lost to Dallas, they lost to Minnesota tonight. They've beaten, in the last week and a half or so, they've beaten two of the three teams with the best record in the NBA, Cleveland and San Antonio. This is still, and this is something they keep talking about, how, you know, we have to get up to play the bad teams the way we get up to play the good teams. It's something that they keep talking about, and it kind of felt like they turned a corner on Saturday when they beat Miami despite not playing that well, and that Miami team is bad, and it was like, okay, maybe they're starting to put something together here where they're figuring out how to beat these bad teams as well as beating the good teams. And then tonight, just all of that just went, you know, it was like two steps forward, five steps backward.
Yeah, and the Bulls are searching for answers, and like, this is a little concerning.
It is.
Like, yeah, you can lose once in a bad game to the Mavericks on a back-to-back on a game that, I guess that was the Rondo bad attitude game.
Sure.
Stuff like that. Like, we'll give you a pass on one. Two's starting to be a pattern. And this kind of dovetails with Chris Herring of ESPN and 538 today wrote about
this piece.
About how the Bulls have had a tendency to do this, but it was mostly a tendency in 2014-15, Tibbs last year. And now
which
it's
was
resurfaced
kind of, which was kind of a sign that you know, things that maybe run their course with him, because they would still get up to play like LeBron or play
the Warriors.
And
Chris's point was on multiple occasions, I think four times or maybe even five times in 2014-15, the Bulls beat a team with a winning percentage of over 600 to turn around and lose to one next game with a team that played sub-400 basketball and sometimes sub-300 basketball. So some really bad teams. And I don't know, that consistency has to come in everyone. Like, Jimmy's brought it pretty much every single
Jimmy was great tonight, by the way.
But more people have to bring it.
27 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, got to the free throw line 9 times. Jimmy Butler's been doing everything.
Yeah, and the Bulls got to give him more help. Like, and that's the 3-point shooting. Like, it kind of makes me happy to know that, like, I don't know if it's karma, but there's a word there.
Poetic justice,
common sense. Like, everyone said the Bulls were going to be awful at 3-point shooting. They said, no, it's not a problem. And now they are even more awful than what we anticipated, and it is a big problem. Like, poetic justice, common sense. I'm usually just glad when common sense prevails. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure, and I think they're good at enough other things that they're going to still be able to string together, I think, low to mid-40s in wins, which is going to be enough to get them in the playoffs, but... You know, the difference between them and obviously, I mean, because in the East, obviously nobody's touching Cleveland, but the difference, I think, between, like if the Bulls had three-point shooting, even like league average three-point shooting, instead of being the worst three-point shooting team in the league by every metric,
yeah.
I think they'd be a lot closer to, like, the Boston, Toronto, Charlotte tier of teams in the East as opposed to where they are right now, which is kind of fighting with, like, the Knicks and the Pistons and the whoever else.
They can be efficient per possession still at a little bit of a slower pace sometimes and even getting some good buckets in transition. But I know they went up 26-6 early in the Timberwolves, but, like, they don't have that button usually where they can press on going, like, a 14-2 run or anything.
Would you say, Cody?
You know what I mean?
Would you say, Cody, that they let go of the rope?
Perhaps. Well, Jimmy Butler did said... We let go or something. Or we let down tonight, he said. That's about the only thing he said.
That's sort of like letting go of the rope.
Yeah.
So would you also say that some players are in the circle and some players are out of the circle after tonight?
Most of them are out of the circle besides Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler and, like, Robin Lopez and Taj Gibson are the only guys that are...
Tibbs in pregame media session made at least two references to those old sayings.
He had one answer where he dropped like three of them in a row, and he actually was a little bit self-referential and self-aware about it this morning at shoot around after we were done with the
we were done with the formal questions,
trying to shut off the recorders in case he said, hey, the magic is in the work, and Tom just kind of laughed and said, yeah, the magic is in the work, and I said, you can't skip any steps. And he's like, that is true. You can't skip any steps. he was a little bit self-aware
about
it.
He loves that reference.
As much as he says he doesn't pay attention to any of this stuff, he absolutely does.
Yeah, so a great night for
It was a weird night overall.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I think the Bulls are really happy it's behind in the rearview mirror.
Well, this is it now because they, you know, all of the things, and I made this point in the column that I wrote tonight, all of the tribute games and, like, homecoming, like, reunion games are over now. We had the Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah game when the Knicks came here. We had Dwayne Wade going back to Miami. We've had this game, even to a lesser extent when Powell came back
Mike
here.
Mike Dunleavy didn't travel with the Cavs when he came here.
Unless we think there's going to be like a Tony Snell revenge game on Friday against the Bucks. Other than, I mean, now, you know, now that this Thibodeau one is over, they're not going to have any, you know, outside emotional distractions like this for
no
the rest of the season.
No outside noise, so Bulls need to do is get down to basketball, get better at it, and not play to their weaknesses as much. Try to play to those strengths. So we will keep tabs on that, as always. And as always, you can also follow Sean on Twitter, at Hyken, myself, at Cody Weschelin. Find us on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, with any basketball questions, anything you want to ask us. Find us on Facebook if that's where you want to find the podcast. We have a Locked On Bulls Facebook page. Most of all, subscribe to us and tell all your friends and all the Bulls fans you know about Locked On Bulls.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Every place on the internet that you can find podcasts, you can find Locked On Bulls. Make sure you, again, leave a good review, leave a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Even if your friends aren't Bulls fans, you should tell them about the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tell them, you know, no matter which, all 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams have their own Locked On podcast.
Josh Lloyd's got Locked On Fantasy.
Josh Lloyd, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. There's also Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL Draft. Any NBA or NFL needs or fandom that you have, you are covered by the Locked On Podcast Network. So make sure you check out whichever one piques your interest the most.
Yep. So
they're practicing tomorrow, so we'll record tomorrow. I think we'll probably take Thursday off because I'm going to be in Milwaukee, and then we'll record. I mean, it's a home and home back to back, so I mean, I don't want to like break down the Bucks twice.
You don't want to break down Tony Snell's game.
Back-to-back game. Well, by the way, can we talk about the Bucks a little bit? I guess we can tomorrow. But the Giannis.
We'll talk about it Wednesday.
Yeah,
we'll talk. We'll get you on Wednesday. But as always, we appreciate you listening and take care.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.